Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I might have just blown Corey's mind with a life hack, but also...
Sean and RJ and Bobby and them still do the life hacks because that's genius.
We need to put it on there.
That is genius.
The Rangers title defense comes to a disappointing end, and ESPN gave them not a very friendly grade. All right, Corey, you brought this up. We didn't really talk much baseball yesterday. It was a lot of football. A lot of discussion about the Cowboys getting absolutely destroyed.
Yeah, shilled.
But over the weekend, the chase to miraculously get in the playoffs did officially end for the Texas Rangers. Now, the good news is at 74-82, they are assured not to have the worst record for a defending champion in for the next year in this century. So that's good. But the best they can finish now is 80-82. So I don't know how much you take from that, but it was kind of disappointing when you lost those first two games of Seattle in the final homestand and knew that you weren't going to be able to have at least a 500 record this year.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out, Kevin, the most disappointing part of it for me this season, because... Do you want to tell the life hack, Kevin?
Yeah, somebody called that an irresponsible tease.
All right, by the end of the segment, okay. We'll make sure we get the life hack out there, because it's great.
Probably, I don't know about the legality of it all. But.
Corey Seager is a surefire Hall of Famer, right?
I am not sure I think that.
I don't know if he's going to have the career numbers.
But
because he has 200 home runs right now.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys that you're like, man, he... is just, and right now he's in a groove, 33-33-30, and he might continue to do that if he does what Mike says and goes and plays first base. And then you got to figure out your shortstop position, and then you're like, but we also need to DH Josh Young, so, and then we got to figure out our third base position. There's a lot of things there, but with Corey Seager, I felt like when we signed him that I was going to get to watch this dude just be the best.
Yeah.
But Mike did warn us multiple times that he's injury prone. That's just, he is an injury prone guy. That's the reality of Corey Seager.
Yes.
And so that does give you that inconsistencies of his career. But that was a huge disappointment for me this year, that he wasn't Corey Seager after being dominant in the playoffs and in the World Series. He wasn't that guy to start the season. He was for a little stretch, but I just didn't feel like I got to see it. And I know that's got to be frustrating for me, or for him.
Yes.
Because I'm also Corey. But as a fan, I didn't get to see, you know, the max part of Corey Seager again. And he probably could have had 40 home runs this year. Maybe 45 if he was healthy. And maybe even had 50. There are a lot of things he can't do, but man, he can crush the baseball. So he's must watch at bats for me.
Since you're talking about the injury prone thing, this is where I get hyped and also see the tenuous nature of the situation. Because let's talk about injuries when it factors into this next group. Because I was thinking about, you think about like what's the best part of this season. You've seen flashes from all of these players, some more than others. But if I told you, All of these guys in your young core are going to be on the team next year, and the group is Wyatt Langford, Evan Carter, Josh Young, Kamar Rocker, and Jack Leiter. You're like, let's freaking go. But that's not that's a disingenuous statement, because as much as I hope it's right, you already talked about the injury woes of Josh Young. We've already talked about the concerns with Evan Carter, though we can dip back into that And Kamar Rocker is somebody who he's looked phenomenal, but he's coming back from not really having pitched for multiple years.
Yeah. Man, we're going to talk a little more this week about the future pitching prospects of the Rangers. Okay. I'm also a little disappointed for Nathan Eovaldi, because Nathan Eovaldi is at his best whenever he's pitching in big time games. That's whenever you see Nathan Eovaldi be that guy.
Yeah.
And you saw stretches where you're like, he still has it. And then you saw late in the season, like, he was just, his arm was dead. There were moments where you're like, oh, he got hit. He got banged around a little bit in this game. So I was a little disappointed for him, too. I would give this season, Kevin, though, a Z. Good. No, there were some good things, but it just wasn't. You just won the World Series.
All right.
And then you don't even make the playoffs.
ESPN did not give the Rangers a Z. They also did not give them the worst grade. But, Corey, I want to ask, on your grading scale, would a Z be roughly equivalent to what they gave the Chicago White Sox? And I swear I'm not making this up. They gave the Chicago White Sox an F minus, 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 minus. That's four minuses after the F. Is that roughly equivalent to a Z?
F-G-H-I-J.
Oh, I mean, I know not
no,
that
way. No, that
would
way. Be a J, okay. Kevin.
They get a J for just kidding. We're not a real major league team.
But Z for zero, yes.
Okay.
The White Sox deserve a zero.
So the White Sox get an F quadruple minus. Angels get an F. The Marlins get an F. And then the Rangers and Colorado Rockies get a D minus. And so for the Rangers, it said, I considered giving them an F to what you just said, for being the defending World Series champions and falling under 500. Certainly a disappointing defense of their title. So they're tied for the fourth worst grade in all of baseball this year. I don't think that's unfair. Like, I've seen some different grades. Somebody said F plus because of Kamar coming along. Somebody said a C minus. I think a C minus is too high. I really do. Like, at absolute minimum, I thought this team would get to 500, and now that's not even statistically possible. So I think it has to be somewhere in the D range for the Ranger. You're stupid.
What do you mean I'm stupid? I was reading something and I smiled.
This is audio. Yeah, if you're watching on the Twitch, you know why I said that. But yeah, I think a D minus or a D is probably very fair for the Texas Rangers.
And that being said, listen, I have complete faith that this offseason, Chris Young will reevaluate this team and say, all right, what do we miss? Were we too blind? And he's kind of discussed this. They overvalued a lot of their things while they were doing this. Will they sit back and say, we can make the moves, we can make these adjustments, we're going to be better at DH this year, we're going to be better in these other areas? Because he said the offense failed them. Everybody knows the offense failed them this year. So what's the biggest transition there? Do you say we replace the batting coach, the hitting instructor? We go at it that way? Do we replace our approach at the plate just a little bit more too? And, you know, you still got the manager. The manager at the end of this year, and we'll have him on tomorrow at 12:20, potentially for the last one of this season. He sounds, based on everything we've heard here at the end of the year, he was evaluating for next season. And I trust his evaluation. It seems weird to be like, I trust it, considering how bad this was, but how good was it a year ago whenever you had no faith that they were going to get there and then they win it all? So I do have a lot of trust that he can go back and look at this and say, we have to make some adjustments here. Now, my big question is, can they? Can they get the pieces they need? Because financially, it's going to be tough. But can they still say, you know what, we can find value pieces that are going to help us trade up from a paperclip to a Lamborghini?
And
you're not getting Shohei. That's just not going to happen.
Fair. And this is where my optimism might be too much. Rangers fans, I'm curious if you're there with me. If I told you, like, you could make trades or signings in the offseason that is the equivalent to second half Wyatt Langford, Kamar Rocker, Evan Carter, and Josh Young, wouldn't you be flipping out? But that's just projections that all those players can come back. And that's probably not.
Yeah.
That's probably not a good way to stack your team and just assume that all those people will be good to go. It's definitely not a good way to stack
When it comes
team.
To Wyatt Langford, are you satisfied with his season?
I am. I will admit, for a lot of it, I was disappointed just because, much like
with, you expected more.
Yeah, much like Overshown, Guyton, I might have had outsized expectations.
But you feel like this is a guy that's going to be a Major League Baseball player that's going to be probably a big part of your Major League club for a while.
I think you have to, just because, like, even if you don't trust, let's just say you don't trust your own eyes. We have heard from so many people in baseball behind the scenes that what they see is that this kid is going to be a stud.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to end the season with like a 3.5 war as a rookie. He's got an OPS above 700. Now, the journey to get there was tough, but that's also encouraging because you saw how much he struggled. And then the fact that his OPS this month is 1,000. Like, that puts you in the direction where you can be pumped about it. I wanted to throw one more thing out there, if I can, Corey. The quotes from Evan Carter were just brutally honest.
Okay.
About this season.
About himself or yes. About the team? Okay.
And he said this over the weekend. So during the last homestand. I appreciate how, like, this feels like what a real person would say. Quote, yeah, this season's been miserable, to be completely honest. You go from the coolest thing that you can do in baseball to missing your entire rookie season. Then what little bit I did get to play, I felt terrible. It just sucks, you know? Like, that feels like a real thing that a real person would say to you.
Yeah. And you got, I mean, it was the coolest thing. You walk into the league and you're competing for a World Series. And then the next year, you can't do anything to help them get back to it because you're...
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician recommended kids multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Physically not capable.
And why did that happen? Listen to this, Evan Carter. The problem was probably me lying to myself, me lying in general. I just needed to take a step back, and I did, and here we are now. Again, it's been miserable. But I mean, it has been for everybody. Gosh, everybody wants to win, and we didn't. There are a lot of guys that want to have better years and a lot of guys that want to redo it. And I'm one of them. I'm excited to redo it next year for sure. That first part about it, he's like, I was lying to myself and I just needed to take a step back.
Lying to himself about his physical ability.
That was my interpretation.
Yeah, and I get that because, Kevin, I go back to Alexi Ogando, Matt Harrison, a lot of these guys, they want to play. They either you are playing to get a big contract or you're playing to live up to your big contract. And a lot of times in both of those instances, you are telling yourself or you have, you know, expectations from manager, GM, all the way up to the owner. A lot of times you're telling yourself, I have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to lose this job or, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it. In that reality, though, if Alexi Ogando had told us he wasn't feeling well, he wouldn't have cost the team team games.
Sure.
And he probably could have recovered faster. Matt Harris, these guys do this and they're telling themselves, you have to be honest with your manager and yourself throughout the process to know your body. That is something that I respect that about Evan Carter. I hope that he learns it. He's still so young. I hope he's able to make a physical recovery. Because there's one thing I do kind of want to see a little more mental toughness. I loved his approach at the plate. I want to see him be a little tougher mentally when he gets up there. But the physical part of it, he has to get right now.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, from the mind of Corey Majors. I'm really excited about this topic. Who is the Cowboys player you need to become a threat? We'll also give you some AM on the FM for a jam-packed expressway next on The Fan.
Trips to the left, back looking, steps up, throws it over the middle of the end zone, caught. Jalen Tolbert to the post. 7:07 still to play in the game.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I have a feeling that that name is going to come up in this segment.
Brad Sham.
No, not Brad Sham. Perhaps that was the inspiration for the segment. Who is the Cowboys player you need to become a threat? And I did think about this answer when somebody sent it in from the 972. Feels like there's only one real answer. It's all the young players. Man, that's too many. In the last two classes, you know what everybody else is already. So Overshown, Mozzie, Guyton, Beebe have to be good or else there's been no upgrade. And Mozzie is the one who immediately came to mind because, like, it might have been the best game of his career, his short career thus far on Sunday, but he still wasn't good. He was good for one quarter. He struggled tremendously in the other three quarters, as did much of the defense and the defensive line. So I definitely understand Mozzie as an answer.
Yeah, there can be a lot of answers to this, but for me, the reason I brought this about it is Jalen Tolbert. Kevin, this was his best. I guess New Orleans was his best. 9 targets, 6 catches, 82 yards. This one though, he gets a touchdown on 42 yards. I need him to be a bigger threat, and the reason is if you're looking for like positives from Brandon Cooks right now, it's not really happening that much. And I didn't love seeing this, but RJ Ochoa tweeted out from Zebra Sports, Brandon Cooks was the only receiver in the NFL to have an average cushion of under 3 yards in week 3. Now, do you say, hey, give credit to Baltimore? They were really sticky.
Yeah.
They were really good. Or do you say, look, man, that guy right there was brought in here specifically to be a threat that opens up the field for CeeDee Lamb. So if you're not, Jake Ferguson, I think, is going to be down the seams. You're going to get some screen plays out to him. You're going to find him in, you know, on some flat routes that get him to the sideline whenever it's important. But, man, Dak loves finding him down the seam. That's going to be there. CeeDee Lamb needs to have some space, and if you have another receiver that can really threaten your defense, then it gives that opportunity for CeeDee Lamb. And with CeeDee Lamb, I don't know if it was for, we haven't discussed this enough to know the answer, was it for he was tired or whatever late in the game and he was on the sideline? Man, I'd love it if you look up there and Jalen Tolbert is the guy in a late in the game because you know he can make that play. So I need Jalen Tolbert for other teams to really look at him and say, we have to consider him whenever he's on the field. Otherwise, you're just going to look at it and go, CeeDee Lamb and Jake Ferguson are the only two we have to cover here. You're not worried about the running game. You have, if you're a defense, you have zero concern about the running game being effective. You're like, okay, stop them on first down and we're good to go. If we get them in a 2-3 yards on first down, then we're good to go. All we have to do is double team CeeDee Lamb, and we're going to be taken care of here.
Now, the first name I saw pop up in the YouTube was Trey Lance.
Okay, that's
don't think that's going to happen.
Do you think that Mike McCarthy is creative enough to install a few packages of Trey Lance running?
No. If you have to look, just my opinion, if behind the scenes you have to ask questions about an offense that's been around for years and years, you probably aren't on the cutting edge of football.
Yeah.
Just my thought.
And that's where I do think Trey Lance could be a useful piece if you just put him out there and figure out how to use him. But if you just leave, say, hey, man, you're over here. That's it. Tough. Dak should be confident enough in his contract that he's not being replaced now.
Yes.
So now if you want to throw him out there and have a couple of different moments where he can do something, I'd be all about it right now.
From the 214, Jalen Tolbert. From the 469, Turpin. That's an interesting one. I'm going to circle back to that. From another 214, Dalvin Cook. Now, look, when Sean and RJ talk with Jerry Jones this morning, it really, really did not sound like you're going to see Dalvin Cook this week. I mean,
I don't think this is the time. Yeah. No. Do you think it's because it's a short week and they don't have time to install him and they're saying, okay, we will wait till next week?
No, I don't. I think it's because they're stubborn and they're like, look, for now, they can use the score of the last two games as their excuse about why they didn't run the ball more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're behind. That's not really when you run the ball. All right, take a look at the start of a couple of those drives. They tried to run the ball. It still went nowhere. So I think they're just stubborn. That's my opinion. All right. I have two thoughts. One, you brought up Brandon Cooks. He's on pace for 45 catches, 425 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And then you mentioned the separation, and it makes sense for why the ball would not come his way more often. So I definitely understand anybody who says Brandon Cooks. My answer might surprise you.
Hold on. I got it. Give me a second here.
Okay.
I'm trying to.
You said you had it.
I'm trying to make sure I can do this.
Okay.
Serious threat. Deuce Vaughn.
I went a different direction with this.
Rico Dowdle.
Micah Parsons.
He's a serious threat.
Is he?
Yeah. That's why he's taken out of games. He is a threat. They know he's on the field. They say, we got to take him out of the game.
Now, I'm sure I'm going to get blasted on the podcast for this. There have been many, many elite defenders in the history of the NFL. And guess what teams do? They double team them. They will triple team them. And the best of the best of the best, which I think Micah could be. Like, so no one misunderstands this. I'm like, Micah's not good at football. I think he's amazing at football. And he could be at the top, 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 top of the list. And that's why I say I want Micah to become more of a threat. Because I appreciate that he's playing within the system, doing what he's told. But
is true.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
That is a reality
so
right
maybe,
now for him.
Maybe Mike is going to be like, you need to hit up Mike Zimmer then. And like, that's a fair point. But
and they are shorthanded at a position that they said, we have to put him there. Because they can't stop the run. One reason being, he can't stop the run.
I want Micah Parsons to be more of a threat. I agree he's a threat, but I need him to become more of a threat.
So you're not saying it's all necessarily on him.
No.
It's more about the way that he's being used and being taken out of games.
Because I think that Micah is a transformational talent that can say, I don't care what you're planning to do or what's in front of me. I'm going to figure out a way to get it done. And that hasn't been the case thus far. And look, I understand. Double teams, triple teams, we've talked about it. So did Aaron Donald. So did Lawrence Taylor. Like, Myles Garrett sees that. Like, all elite, elite players see that. I need him to continue to push and try to figure out a way to still make plays, even though the entire offensive game plan is centered around how do we keep Micah Parsons out of our face.
Yeah,
I understand that that's the game plan. I do. But I think he's good enough that he can still recap.
Yeah, and then that's got, because you know that when a quarterback breaks the huddle, the first person he finds is Micah.
Sure.
They goes, all right, he's on the left side right now. So this play, we've already decided we're running to the right. We're running away from him. We're bootlegging away from him. Or we're running right at him because we know he can't stop it. That the reality is, I'm not saying he's a one-trick pony, but he's kind of a one-trick pony. He can pass rush like crazy. And then he can pursue. But that he can't stop the run because his physical size is linebacker size.
Yeah.
And so whenever these 200-300-pound linemen come at him, they push him out of place pretty easily. And he still has to overcome that. I know he was working out with sumo wrestlers in the offseason.
Which I actually did see the value in that. I know sometimes he gets dunked on for nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
When I watched the drill, I was like, okay, I see the value of that.
But then if that's the case, then as Mike Zimmer, and maybe it's just taken Mike Zimmer a little more time than he thought it would take him to develop with this personnel. Maybe that is the case. But if you're Mike Zimmer, you're on that defensive side of the ball, you have to look at Micah and say, if he's my biggest threat, I have to find ways so that he can't get double teamed, so he can't get pushed out of a run play. I have to do so. I'll put that on Mike Zimmer. and to make sure that that happens, so that when Micah Parsons has those opportunities, he can take advantage of it.
And you know, the further we get into this, the more I guess I'm surprised. I probably shouldn't be surprised anymore that people have very conflicting opinions about Micah Parsons from the 4.69. Micah's not that good. From the 9.72, Corey's right. He's a one trick pony.
I'm not saying the trick is really good.
It is amazing.
Whenever he's free to run at the quarterback, whenever he has the opportunities to go get the quarterback, he's really, really good at it. I'm not sure that he would be a great linebacker to pursue run. That sideline to sideline is his best, the best way to use him. He goes forward very, very well. But whenever you are blocking him well, he gets taken out of a game. How else can he impact the game? I want to go back to Shorzy real quick, Kevin, because it's one of my favorite shows. Shorzy has a concussion and can't play, and the lady who owns the team and runs it says, find a way to contribute. And whenever you're getting taken out of what you do best, how are you going to do something else to contribute to the team?
And this is why the number of one sack and one tackle for a loss in three games. Like, because don't you feel like that's what people have kind of said about Tank?
Mm-hmm.
When he, like, maybe didn't have the same pass rushing ability or whatever, you're like, man, but when he stops the run,
still so good
like,
at
you
it.
Desperately need more people that can stop the run. And so that's what's disappointing. When the pass rush is being overloaded to, like, stop him, that he's not able to make an impact in other ways on the line of scrimmage and win at the line of scrimmage and perhaps get another couple of tackles for loss. I think that's a disappointment.
I totally understand what you're saying about Micah. I totally get it. I believe he's a threat, but the threat is not executing and not getting there as much. I totally get you there.
Now, from the 817, because I've seen this text a couple of times, it's Ryan Flournoy. You need to push him to the moon. All right. I don't know if that is in the team's plans, but I appreciate any and all feedback here. So that is their vote.
To the moon, huh?
To the moon.
Flournoy to the moon. Jalen Brooks had a pretty... Did he have a decent game? Or did you feel like it was underwhelming with him? I thought he had a couple of catches.
I thought he was okay.
If Flournoy can be better, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
But... You know, that's up to the coaches. We got to trust them, I guess.
And from the 972, wasn't Mozzie supposed to be able to stop the run from Micah? I hear you. You're right. Early on, still early, it's not going very well. But I know the answer from Jerry Jones. I've heard the answer from Jerry Jones. I've heard the answer from Stephen Jones. Tom Landry said, you have to give defensive tackles at least 3 years to develop. Now, I will never go against anything that Tom Landry said. Do they really believe that in another year and a half that he's going to be good to go? All right, great. Then that's fine. But are they just saying that as a defense mechanism because they don't want to say, well, you know what, Corey, you're right. He doesn't look good in practice. That's why his positional coach is on his ass all training camp. He's having trouble across the board. So I have to give you Tom Landry speak so no one questions it.
Somebody messaged me last night, Kevin, and said, the Cowboys desperately need a defensive tackle to replace Mozzie. The best defensive tackle out there.
Don't do it.
Is from Michigan. Is what I haven't looked completely, but are they talking about Kenneth Grant there? Is what I think so.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I know this is not the way you should do it. It's the same argument.
Or Mason Graham, mate. I don't know. I got to go look.
It was the same argument I had with people who said C.J. Stroud wasn't going to be any good. I don't think that's fair. But then another part of me as a fan is like, if you take a defensive tackle from Michigan in the first round, I am going to throw everything at Pluckers on the ground. Like whenever we do our draft special there. So I know that's probably not a responsible way to think about it. But... here we are.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got AM on the FM coming up in just a couple of minutes, but...
Oh, sorry.
That's my mistake. There was never a giveaway plan.
I know there's not.
I guess the way I said that.
I don't know why
up.
I even did that. I think it just, you know, Pavlovian.
Did you guys get in on the stars last night? Because the way that game ended... was bananas. Well, actually, how it started was bananas, too, because Pete DeBoer, he was not on the bench because during his yearly training camp physical, they thought he might have an issue with potential appendicitis.
Oh, no.
And so he had to be taken out to get his appendix taken out.
Okay. Couple things there. Do you have your appendix?
I do.
You have your appendix, Alec?
I do.
All right. So we all have our appendix still.
Anytime you get a pain in either side, are you like, oh my God, is my appendix on the right or left
side?
Yeah,
you never know.
You think it's about to explode inside of you. Like, I don't know.
The other thing too is I know we're the baseball show of record. Are we the most appendix show of record as well? That's a question that we'll have to ask the rest of DFW Sports Talk.
You know where you look about for that, right? In the appendix.
You might be right about that. I'm not sure.
You.
But yeah, man, they can tell.
Yeah.
If you might need it taken out, why don't we just take them out at birth?
This is where we need Mike to tell us. My wife's a doctor. Here's what the appendix does. Because I have to admit, I'm not entirely sure. When you have things in your body that can be removed and you're just fine, then I'm like,
Like your wisdom teeth. It plays a role in the immune and gut microbiome maintenance.
Oh, okay.
But you don't necessarily need it.
Well, that's amazing. And I'm glad we're all interested in that. They expect DeBoer's going to be just fine. But in the game, the Dallas Stars, I realize it's a preseason game. The Dallas Stars scored with 0.2 seconds left. And they had to replay it again and again. The game's in Colorado.
So the puck passed the line completely.
With 0.2 seconds. And it was this close to being at 0.1. I mean, either way, you're going to win the game. But you could see there's a handful of Stars fans at the game in Colorado. And when the puck goes in, you could all see them go, yeah! And then you see the most just like, I guess I'm going to go back to tenuous again, goal celebration ever. Because the Stars are like, yeah, we did it, right?
Right, did we?
Because they're like, well, we got to check the replay. And so goal counts, they win. I don't care if it was a preseason game. That ending was awesome.
That is, hey, what a way to end it.
That's a great point. And from the 682.
Look, man, I don't know if I've ever really watched a preseason hockey.
It was very entertaining.
But I did see that Thomas Harley shattered the glass at the practice this morning.
Like Shaq.
So that's nice. No, different
like Shaq. For people asking about the life hack, now again, I'm going to tell you this is against
the law. This is a genius life hack that Kevin came up with out of nowhere.
Alec, you should rent a car that is exactly the same as your car. And then switch out the tires whenever it's time for your tires to be moved on.
Yeah. If you just need to get the front two, all you got to do, what? Your rental for that car is what? $95 or something like that. Maybe even cheaper. One day, switch out the front two tires, move on with your life.
See, the issue there is, one, I don't know if that's allowed, and two,
it's not allowed. There's no way that's allowed.
But you don't
Alec.
Know that's true.
But you know what? Back in the day at the video store, would people open up the cartridge and try to change it around? That happened too.
See, I just crossed 155,000 miles on my car, so I think the tires are the least of my concerns right now.
All right, change out the carburetors. You know, yeah, I see where you're going with this.
Good old engine swap.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to rent out a V8 and put it in my Chevy Cruze.
No, he said get the exact same car.
Exact
all right, you're renting
car.
The exact
that's no
same
fun,
car.
Right, that's
now
no
there's going to be problems.
I'm going to put 24-inch wheels on my soccer mom car.
By the way, from the 972. Our fan texting system is very sensitive. Sometimes if you put even if it's just in a regular sentence, like, I can't stop watching the Cowboys, you'll get a response that says, you will no longer receive text messages from, you can still text into us. It has a very sensitive amount of words that it's like, no, you're out. But you're still in. Don't worry about it, 972. All right, now it's time for AM on the FM.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet. Alex, that was awful.
One for Alex, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
I'm glad that the new version, the third version of this intro is sticking, because before Peyton left this morning, he said that a random Tolo just replied to one of his random tweets and said Alec won, Peyton zero.
Nice.
And that made my morning. That absolutely did. It's time for AM on the FM right here in the KNC Masterpiece. Since Mike is out, no Mike likes it, but you like AM on the FM, I hope. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. It's inspired a little bit off of y'all's crosstalk conversation. What is your favorite TV or streaming series that you are watching now or have watched recently? Because I'll put it all out there that I don't watch anything. I am horrible at keeping up with all the new like shows and trends and whatnot. So any of these popular shows that are out right now, I haven't watched any of them. And I want some recommendations, because now that I'm here with you guys every day, I have a consistent schedule and I'm like, huh, I kind of want to start like taking in more content and I can actually get some of the references that you guys make. So I'm trying to catch up. So
yeah,
if you have some really good shows or series that you have on streaming or TV that you're really enjoying, or you have in the past couple years, I have not watched really, I haven't binged anything since the pandemic.
I got one.
So if you have something, a recommendation that you're really liking right now, 877-881-1053 or the Twitch and YouTube, want to hear from you as well.
Okay. I got a few. Right now I'm on Suits. And because I never watched it back in the day when it was on USA, I love when they, you know how those shows will get you to a moment and then go to commercial and you're like, oh, but
yeah.
I love the fact that I just get to go right into the next scene on Netflix. So I'm watching that right now. That's a big investment, Alec. That's like 9 seasons at like 16 episodes a season. Lots Jeez. Of effort. But I will throw these out there. Fallout was awesome.
That okay. show was awesome.
Bad Monkey right now, I am really enjoying just because I like Vince Vaughn. But Slow Horses on Apple TV, I am in love with. Slow Horses, if you like espionage type stuff with a little bit of humor thrown in there, I'm all about that. Slow Horses is, I slept on it whenever it was out. It's 5 seasons, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I started watching it. I was like, oh, there must be like 2 seasons. And then no, you're on season 5 right now. And then Shoresy and Letterkenny. I always throw some Shoresy and Letterkenny into the mix.
Now, there's some good recommendations there. I have one tailored specifically to you, Alec Medford.
Okay.
It has now made its debut on Netflix. It's originally from Stars. You need to watch the television program Heels.
Yes. I'm so behind, but I need to see that.
It is an excellent, excellent show. Knowing how much you just like wrestling in general, you should watch that. Here, and I think you'll legitimately enjoy that, and it's very well done. Here's a show that it may be well done. It made me feel dumber when I watched it, but my God, if it wasn't entertaining. It's called Chimp Crazy on HBO Max, or I guess just Max. It's from the same people who did Tiger King, and you hear the title, you can figure it out. It was amazing. I was sad when every episode was over and I was watching it in real time. I wanted to do what Corey said and just push the button to go to the next one, but you couldn't do that yet. But now there's only 4 episodes. They're all out. Chimp Crazy and Heels. Those are going to be my 2 recommendations.
I know nothing about those. I absolutely zero about either one.
Chimp Crazy. Look, if you need
Chimp
more.
Chimp Crazy, it sounds like it would be one of those. You're watching a bunch of chimpanzees in a zoo.
Dude.
Like you're watching Ken Allen relive his life. Have y'all ever heard the Ken Allen story, by the way?
I don't think so.
Dude, you have to go watch the 20-minute long YouTube video of Ken Allen and his escapes from the San Diego Zoo.
Okay. Huh. If you, and for Chimp Crazy, if you've ever wanted to see people openly discuss how they like the chimps better than their actual children and maybe kiss them on the face, this is the show for you.
I don't know if I'm looking for that, but I'm intrigued.
It's crazy.
I am, yeah. I don't think I was seeking out people who like their chimpanzees more than their children.
It is, but like, you don't feel good about it, but you oddly can't turn away. It's by the same guy who did Tiger King, but he has to hire a fake director because everyone in the animal world knows who he is now.
Wow.
So he has a surrogate director. It's crazy. That's a true story. Watch the show.
What was the show with all the little prairie dogs or whatever? Kingdom. Not Animal Kingdom.
Possum Kingdom?
That's a place in Texas, Kevin.
Yeah, that's a lake.
I think that was a show, too.
Right there near Fort Worth, Haltom City.
I did see somebody say you should watch the Menendez Brothers show on Netflix. I have to admit, my wife and I watched the first episode, thought it was tremendous. I know, like, the general story about they killed their parents. I did not know any of this other stuff and that they requested to play a Milli Vanilli song at their parents' funeral. That scene was amazing. So I've only watched the first episode, but it was thumbs up.
Somebody did say 945, Gary Oldman quips harder than any character ever in Slow Horses, 10 out of 10.
Nice.
And I was telling you this morning, I think Gary Oldman's a fantastic actor, for
yes.
one. He takes on this character. He's almost unrecognizable for a little bit, but then you're like, oh yeah, that is Gary Oldman. And he takes on this character, Meerkat Manor, thank y'all very much. He takes on this character, and it is just brilliant acting. I told Kevin, there's one scene where he's eating a bowl of noodles, and he's just like eating, the way he's eating it, genius acting. How? Because he's eating noodles, and it's annoying the hell out of me the whole time. It was brilliant.
Okay. Man, those are the kind of cells I want for TV.
I'm totally
shows.
In on Slow Horses right now.
Irritating noodle eating. Okay.
From the 214, you should binge Firefly. It's only 12 episodes, but it is a classic.
Okay. And we're getting a lot of reaction here. And trust me, I am writing some of these down because I'm starting this week. This week, I'm going to start actually catching up on shows, movies, etc. I need to get caught up. Because I feel like I'm so behind compared to y'all. My dad even makes fun of me because he's like, how have you not seen any of this?
Right.
Like, you have free time now. What are you doing with yourself? I'm like, I don't know. I'm a tired human. I don't know. I don't want to stare at screens all day. But
all fair points. So a lot of times I have trouble sleeping and I will watch whatever just because I can't sleep.
That's what I do.
Did you watch Breaking Bad?
I did.
Okay. So somebody, look, I bet you're the best, and I hope you keep listening to this show. From the 817, I watched Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul on repeat. I watched them over 10 times. Breaking Bad, no discouraging things to say about that except for the Fly episode. That is a great,
I love that episode.
Great show. Better Call Saul, look, I know it's tough, and it's hard to take a stand by yourself, but you'll see how many people will join you. First several seasons of that show are boring. Mm. People will tell you it's brilliant. It's a masterpiece. What happened in the episode? Nothing. And they'll be like, oh, you just needed to watch it. But the real reason is because literally nothing happened. And then finally they're like, hey, this show is boring as F. Let's bring in some Breaking Bad people. And then the show really started to click. It has its moments, but man, those first several seasons of Better Call Saul are a slog to get through.
So this is the question of the day because Sean asked you about the Vince McMahon docuseries that's coming out on Netflix tomorrow.
Yes, so excited.
And I'm so excited. I'm going to start watching it tomorrow as soon as it drops. And I did see Men's Journal got a hold of it and they did a thorough review on it.
Oh.
And a quote that I took away. This is going to be fun to read. It says, quote, one of the parts that really puts into contrast of how out of touch Vince McMahon can be with the real world is a brief segment that mentions one of the most messed up storylines he has ever pitched. The story was that his daughter Stephanie would announce in ring that she is pregnant, and eventually Vince would be revealed as the man responsible.
What?
And they interviewed both of them in the docuseries and asked them about it. They said, thankfully, the idea was immediately shot down by everyone in the room. But when reflecting on it in the docuseries, Vince and Stephanie had very different, disturbing reactions. Stephanie, his daughter, does what you'd expect. Couple uncomfortable laughs, chuckles, stutters, and eventually refuses to talk about it while slowly cringing into herself. Meanwhile, Vince, a hearty laugh and a big smile, like it's another day at the office.
Oh, man, I'm so excited to see that documentary because I appreciate his rise in wrestling, but also when you see like how you just said it, out of touch, then you would see like the way so many black characters would get portrayed as if there's only three things like a black person could possibly be in his mind. And you're like, what is happening here? So I'm really intrigued to see that documentary.
It's going to be really interesting. And I hope if you even aren't the biggest wrestling person, you still watch it. Because like you said, the meteoric rise versus the fall of the human. And they break down the character that is Mr. McMahon, too. So that's going to be really, really fun to see.
Sometimes when he complained about the lines being blurred, I think that might be his own internal issue as well about the lines being blurred.
I think
himself.
That might be all internal. And real quick, since we're talking about TV, ESPN Monday Night Countdown yesterday featured Jason Kelce along with Ryan Clark and Swaggu and SVP. And this happened.
Jason, when you start pushing them, and they can't stop you, that has to be the most,
you did not
the,
have
the best
ask
feeling
him
there
a
is.
Question like that.
Yeah, I'm just asking. He is, well, he was smiling
there's
real big.
There's nothing more I love than pushing it on another grown man and just taking it over. Yes, Scott, you are absolutely correct.
So that's more.
Yeah, Liz, there is no greater feeling than when you're taking over the line of scrimmage.
That's good, huh? This might be the last one for me.
That was Ryan Clark saying, I'm done after this.
Otherwise, that's assault.
But
yes.
Marcus was right. SVP worded that awfully, and Jason just took it and ran with it. So that's how things are going with Jason Kelce's media career, if you didn't catch that last night.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Jordan Lewis and Jerry Jones seem to agree. Next in The Fan.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.